we doing when it comes to truly embracing with our hearts and our minds people of different colors, races, ethnicities? And I mean truly embracing with the heart and the mind. We know why we love them, embrace them. Mind love. And we truly embrace them passionately. Heart love. How are we doing when it comes to embracing people within our races and outside of our races? How about when it comes to embracing them, even when we suddenly discover that their political ideology is different from ours? Even if they're the same race, whether they're the same race or a different race, does our love for them change? Does the love in our minds, does the love in our hearts change towards them? Even though they're the same color now that they were before we discovered their political positions, their social positions, their socioeconomic positions, all of that having to do with politics, do we still love them? How are we handling race relations in general? Can people who are considered racist overcome their racism? Well, Dr. Stephen Stosny is a psychologist who has done some excellent work on the brain. Excellent work regarding the brain. Now, why am I bringing in the brain? Well, as I read what Dr. Stosny says about the brain and race, I began to realize he has a message we need to hear. Courtesy of Psychology Today, we're going to take a look at this. Looking at racism, but remember now, it doesn't stop at racism. It's all about how racists can overcome their racism, how they can soar above it. And one of the things that Dr. Stosny points out is we have two, and he's just focusing for now on these two parts of the brain, the toddler brain and the adult brain. And he's breaking that down in such a way that we can really follow him. And so that's what I want us to do, really follow him. So let's take a look first at what he shares about the toddler brain. He said that's where we perceive the world in black and white, all or nothing, safety or danger. In those terms, that's the way we perceive the world when we're using our toddler brain. Now, you notice I said when we are using our toddler brain. I want to clue you in right now, even though we're talking about the toddler brain, he is not just talking about the toddler's use of the toddler brain. He is really focusing on the adult's use of the adult's own toddler brain. Stay with me. He describes that toddler brain as the part of our brain that has little or no reality testing, which is simply the ability to distinguish what's really happening from what is only thought or imagined or felt. That toddler brain projects thoughts and imagination and feelings onto other people. And his projections are based almost entirely on the current emotional and physiological state. If the person is comfortable, fed, well-rested, and pretty much getting his or her own way, the projections that they project upon other people are positive. But otherwise, they're mostly negative. Identity in general is mostly negative in the toddler brain. We don't know who we are, but we do know who we are not. We are not those people. The favorite two words of the toddler are mine and no. A lot of children don't even have to be taught to be selfish. Mine. Everyone's likely to retreat to the toddler brain under stress and when physical resources are low. What keeps blatant racists stuck there, stuck in the point where they're using the toddler brain over and over and over, continually making use of the toddler brain, where everything is black and white, where everything is all or nothing, where there's little or no reality testing, what keeps blatant racists stuck in that mode of using the toddler brain is their habit of employing the toddler coping mechanisms that include blame, denial, and avoidance. Please keep those in mind. Blame, denial, and avoidance. The toddler who breaks a toy is likely to blame it on someone else or deny any knowledge of what happened or deny responsibility for it. I don't know. Or even hide. Toddler coping mechanisms are bound to get negative responses from other people. And negative projections have a way of becoming self-fulfilling prophecy. We know that. How many of you remember studying that in psychology in undergrad, even in high school? Self-fulfilling prophecy. Something negative is projected onto someone else. And wouldn't you know it, some kind of way, everything comes together so that that person who had the negative projected upon him or her does something, says something to basically affirm the negative projection. The negative responses that they get from people close to them are easily generalized to whole classes of people, even if they encounter very few persons in the groups that they devalue. Dr. Stassny talks about a TV interview that he once saw as a child featured a Southern segregationist who said that he hated Jews, even though he also conceded he had never actually seen one. He had never seen a Jew. He had never met a Jew, but he hated Jews. We're going to look into this some more. I got something else coming up next hour. But we definitely have to pursue this some more at a later date. So you be sure to stay with me as we track how we're doing with regards to race relations in our own hearts and minds. For real.